In this episode, we'll be talking about some new DLC for Streets of Rage 4.
Could one of the best 3D Sonic games be getting a remaster?
And Microsoft is back in the rumor mill yet again.
Welcome to episode 15 of the Retro Gaming Dads podcast, the weekly podcast for everything retro and retro inspired. I'm Phil, and tonight I'm joined by Barry and Anthony.
Good evening.
Hello there.
How's your week been?
Yes, first week back in the office.
What have you been playing? I know you've been playing a bit of Outriders with me and Phil.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Managed to play a little bit of Doom and complete another section of that. Other than that, it has just been a bit of Outriders.
Oh, I have been throwing my head against the wall at Doom, dying a lot. Killing a lot of really hard enemies with the pistol.
Well, you know what I'm going to tell you need to do? Get good.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll accept that.
I've actually not played any more Doom since last week. So I need to run through it on the Xbox, get a few more achievements. And then I think I'm going to try and run through it again on the 32X to see how bad that version really is.
Oh, but it was nice playing a bit of co-op, because we did some co-op Doom as well, didn't we?
Yeah, we need to get Anthony on that. But you might be a bit busy the end of this week, I believe.
Yes, seeing as though I most probably will have a child born by the time this podcast comes out.
So everyone needs to send congratulations or possibly commiserations.
No, congratulations, thank you very much. Don't sour my child's birth too much.
Well, we know how much you moan about. You have no time to play video games at the moment. So after your third child.
I'm just wondering where the heck he finds out to sleep.
He doesn't sleep. Look at the bags under his eyes.
What bags? Don't even start.
So, speaking of getting out of bed, Streets of Rage 4 DLC.
Oh, that was a smooth transition. But yes, new content is coming to Streets of Rage 4, which I'm sure we'll all be delighted to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, it's not all good news, as this is paid for DLC.
I mean, we can't grumble too much, considering it was Game Pass Day 1. And
well, I can. I still paid for it.
Well, true, you did.
Yeah, that's very true. But for those of us who haven't paid for it, you know, it's a way for Microsoft to get something out of it, rather than people just leeching off the Game Pass.
Well, no, it's fair enough Game Pass giving you the games for free and DLC being extra. You know, gets you in the door, doesn't it? And gets more money for publishers, so it's win-win that way.
Absolutely.
It just means that if Game Pass, you better buy the game.
Haven't got a release date on it at the moment. It just says coming soon. But they're adding at least one new character, which I believe is Estelle Acquire, I think her name was. She was one of the bosses, the police officer, who calls in backup in the form of a policeman with a rocket-propelled grenade launcher, who just bombs the arena. Very much like the original Streets of Rage, except it's not as much fun when it's being used against you.
How much of the screen does it take up?
Well, on the original game, it's a full screen. Thankfully, this one, it's only roughly half of it.
Yeah, there's like circles everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's still not fun.
No.
Unless, well, it will be when you get to use it. But we get a new character, plus some new stages, and since Streets of Rage is known for it, some new music.
Nice.
It appears, from what I can gather, this story-wise, this will be set in VR of some sort. So perhaps you might be going back, experiencing previous boss battles or previous stages. Could be quite interesting. And as a teaser at the end of the trailer for this DLC, it appears that there's going to be two more unlockable characters, or maybe future DLC characters.
Well, we were saying that it was strange how both Max and Shiva were there, had all the moves and everything in there, but weren't playable.
Do you know what? I think it's really nice to see that they are supporting the game still. They're still working on it, especially alongside of the Turtles game they're working on as well at the moment, also.
So this is great that we're getting content for Streets of Rage 4 to try and tide us over until that's released. I'm certainly not complaining.
I still need to complete it.
I think we were talking about this last week, weren't we, actually?
We were.
I said we need to jump on and complete the game with you.
Yeah. Well, it's because it was online co-op, two players only.
Yes.
But on the same Xbox, it's up to four.
Four.
So you and Phil jumped on and ran off. But yeah, so I need to complete it, and so we just need to run through it together at some point.
Especially before this DLC comes out, so...
Yeah, it might be a good idea. But isn't there an update coming to Streets of Rage 4 as well at the same time?
Yes, everyone will get the update for free, which I'm unsure what it contains. Let me have a very quick look.
I imagine it's going to be some quality of life aspects and bug fixes and the like. Not that there's any noticeable bugs in Streets of Rage that I can think of.
Or maybe like a bit of a compatibility thing.
I'm trying to look for what the update's going to include. I was about to say there's no bugs in the game, although it's a little bit hard, and then instantly remembered that one of the updates includes a new harder difficulty mode.
Just what you need.
Yes.
But I believe it's called, it's got a name, we've got a name for the DLC called Mr. X Nightmare.
Yes, so Mr. X was the big bad guy from the original Streets of Rage titles. He isn't in Streets of Rage 4, but I won't say much more because you haven't completed it yet. In the DLC, another character from Streets of Rage 3 makes an appearance, Dr. Zan. Potentially, he may be a future unlockable character. But looking at the silhouettes, as Phil mentioned before, I do think it is likely to be Max and Shiva, especially since both characters are in the game and have already got animation. So, after some good news, unfortunately, I've got some bad news for you as well.
Dun, 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 dun.
Or specifically, PlayStation 3 owners.
Sony's not having a good time.
No, they are not. As over the last fortnight, we've speculated and then confirmed the PlayStation Store is going, it gets worse. Unfortunately, it's been confirmed that once the CMOS battery, which holds the console's time, dies and the PlayStation Store is no longer available, you will not be able to play your own digital titles on your PlayStation 3.
Now, is it just me or are you two also starting to feel a little bit bad about all the negative side that we're having to speak about? Because there's nothing positive to speak about.
Yes. Just for clarity, I have an Xbox. I have a Switch, I have a PC, I do not own a PlayStation. It's not because I don't like PlayStation, it's because everyone I know plays on those other systems. So I don't want to speak bad about Sony and the PlayStation, but currently it's not been as rosy as it has been during the PlayStation 4 generation.
Yeah, they are making it hard to bring up positive news about them because everything that seems to be coming out at the minute is, well, Sony have done this that's bad for everybody, and now they're doing this that's bad for everybody. Give us some positive news, Sony.
Yeah, this generation seems to have swapped. Microsoft seemed to be gaming sweetheart now, whereas last generation it was Sony.
Yeah.
I would like some good news to speak about Sony at some point so we can finally say, yes, they've done this, but it's just, you know, they're making it hard.
Well, unfortunately, I do not have any for you in this episode.
Oh, not for me, for people listening. I'm the first.
The thing is about this death clock is we've talked about the loss of some of these brilliant games, like the Mega Man Legends stuff that you was looking at, Barry.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at getting Mega Man Legends, Legends 2, Trombone's Adventures, Suikoden 2. There was a lot of titles that are prohibitively expensive to purchase that I was going to connect up my PlayStation 3, go on the store and purchase them so I could play them in the future. However, the issue with this CMOS battery is once it dies, if there's no way for it to connect back to Sony to set its time, you cannot play your digital titles regardless of whether you've played them before on the console or they're even installed.
I think what makes it very difficult is the uncertainty of you don't know when it's going to die. You don't know at all, any timings, regardless. You know, also, do we know if it is the battery life? Is it down to how often it's left on, or if it's just over time, or you don't know? So at some point, it will just go, and that's it.
Exactly. I believe it's going to be worse if the console's not been used for a while. So most people got a PlayStation 4. If they kept the PlayStation 3, they've probably boxed it up somewhere, left it. That battery may have gone already. Which, if you can get it replaced and connect now, you're safe for now, but in the future, it will go again. It's not a case of if, it's a case of when. That's the issue. And once it does, your digital titles are no longer useful.
A literal death clock for the console.
Exactly. And I've got even more bad news, because it gets worse.
Oh, just me thought it couldn't.
On the PlayStation 4, it's even worse. If the CMOS battery on that goes and you can't connect back to Sony, you can't even play your physical games. So you will not be able to play digital or physical games on your PlayStation 4.
How is it worse for the PS4 than PS3? That doesn't really make much sense, if I'm honest. But what about the PS5, though? Is that going to have the same issue as well?
It's unknown for the PlayStation 5. Also, it doesn't seem to affect the Vita or the PSP, thankfully. The PlayStation 3 at the moment is the immediate concern, just because they're taking down the store in June, I believe it was.
Yeah. Well, pretty imminent, yeah. The warning we can give to people is, if you've got a PlayStation 3 and you don't lose what you've got, replace the CMOS battery. Is all we're going to suggest.
Yes, and make sure you replace it with a high-quality CMOS battery.
Yeah.
Not whatever you get cheapest on Amazon. You need a good quality one to get the most out of it.
Yeah, because you might not be able to replace it later.
Exactly. Well, after a bit of positive news, followed by a bit of negative news, there's some potentially positive news, for me at least. One of the best 3D Sonic games may be getting a remaster.
See, this is one neither me and Anthony have really played.
No.
So I think you're going to have to tell us a bit more about Sonic Colors.
It stars a little blue mammal that goes very, very quick.
We know that far.
Well, you didn't specify how much you did or didn't know.
We know about Sonic.
Caesar's called right. Sonic. Let's. Okay. It's hard to believe, but we're not that dumb.
I mean, I'm not, but...
Hey, you're not even saying no. I do
wonder sometimes.
So do we.
So, if this is getting a remaster, I do think that's good news for a lot of people. Because, like yourselves, a lot of people have not played this game. Currently, it's only available for the Nintendo Wii. It's no secret that Sonic didn't have the best track record with 3D titles in the mid-2000s. So, once they tried to reboot it with Sonic 06, his reputation was, shall we say, tarnished. He had game after game after game that was not up to the high standards people expected from Sonic. Then comes Sonic Colors 2010, and it was heralded as the first good 3D Sonic game since Sonic Adventure, way back in 1999. And after that, Sonic's had a fairly good track record with his 3D titles. At best, they've been fantastic. At worst, they've been okay. Nothing too terrible. So it's great to see this game getting the recognition it deserves and maybe coming back to modern consoles.
I know you've told us some bits about how you saw the room, but how exactly did you see it again?
So it looks like details of the game's existence were shown off on two different websites. So the first one was IK Samples website, which is a German localization company. So obviously the game will be made in, say, Japan, and it'll go to different companies to localize it for that country's language. Now, this company has previously worked on other Sonic games, such as Sonic Boom. So it leads a bit of credibility to it. When on their website, they actually say they have worked on the Sonic Colors remaster. And just very quickly, I would like to say thank you to Sega as well for spelling Colors correctly over here in the UK. Not like Nintendo with the Game Boy Color, who couldn't just squeeze that U in it to make it, you know, correct.
Do you know, I did have a quick look early about it, and I did see it spelt without the U, and I was like, it looks very, yeah, I didn't enjoy it.
Spelling's important.
Absolutely. More important than not being America. So, as well as on IK Samples' website, it also appeared on a French retailer's website called Soul Gamer League. They didn't have much information. It does look like it's a placeholder. You actually can't see it if you look for the game in a list, but it's available if you go direct to the URL. And it just has the title, Sonic Colors Ultimate Limited Edition, and a placeholder release date for the 31st of December this year. So it does look like maybe they have got advanced notification that this game is coming, so they can start updating the systems. And obviously, retailers need to know ahead of time so they know how many copies of a title they want to buy in as well.
I would be surprised if it does actually get released on New Year's Eve, though.
It probably won't.
I know, but can you imagine?
No. Although I think Dead or Alive 4, didn't it, on the Xbox 360?
I'm not sure. Did it?
I know it came out just after Christmas.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember because the 360 came out on my birthday, which is not too far before Christmas.
Yeah, I think Dead or Alive came out like last couple of days of the year.
It was towards the end of the year. It definitely was towards the end of it.
But chances are, from when I've worked in retail, if you didn't know when an item was coming out, it'd always be put to the 31st of December.
Yeah. Okay.
It's almost definitely a placeholder release date.
So I guess, Barry, this is going to be one that you're definitely going to be keeping an eye on and looking out for.
Well, it's one I'll definitely buy. It's a Sonic game, isn't it? And if I want to keep up with them, then...
You have to.
Gotta go fast. I'll be purchasing it. It's been a pretty much a decade since I played Sonic Colors. I remember enjoying it. And to play it on a modern console, maybe pick it up on the Switch so I can play it when I'm out and about, or if it's available on the Xbox so I can get the achievements, I am not complaining. And I think a lot of people will enjoy it, and it'll be their first time to actually play it.
And speaking of both Switches and Xboxes, that actually ties in quite nicely to what we were going to talk about next.
Yes.
So the rumor is knocking around again, Microsoft, that they may be bringing Game Pass to the Switch.
How many times has this rumor surfaced?
Almost as many as Microsoft buying Sega.
Yes. Well, this is being pushed around an awful lot. And if we go on the idea that Phil Spencer hides Easter eggs for upcoming announcements in the background of his videos, don't forget he did have a Switch on a shelf in the background.
He did.
So perhaps that's confirmation, just not verbal.
No, that's confirmation that Microsoft's buying Nintendo.
Oh yeah, 100%. So it looks like a lot of rumors are starting to pop up, and these seem a bit more
credible.
Not necessarily credible, but a bit more grounded, a bit more detailed as well from previous rumors. So it appears that Microsoft may be in talks with Nintendo that Game Pass will be coming to the Switch in a limited capacity. And this isn't Game Pass as it is on the Xbox. This is more akin to the Xbox game streaming service.
I think this is going to be a big win for Microsoft in one particular regard. I think it will really help them gain presence in Japan.
If it does, then I don't know the exact number, but I think it's something like 20 million gamers in Japan. And precisely 15 of them have an Xbox.
Oh, it is ridiculous. I mean, I think past month, it was something like 100 and something thousand Switches sold, 7,000 PlayStation 5s, and about 200 Xboxes.
That's a good month then.
It was a great month for Xbox. They did brilliantly.
It'd definitely be great for Microsoft to get access to those gamers. But I think it'd be good for Switch as well. As we've mentioned in the past, Switch is not a powerful system. Even when it came out, it was already running a 2-year-old APU. So
yeah,
if they get this streaming service, which they seem to be okay with. In Japan, you've got Phantasy Star Online 2 Cloud Edition, which is streamed. We've recently got Control and Resident Evil as well. Both of them are streamed. The Switch does fall behind a bit in these big AAA titles. And if Microsoft were to bring the first-party titles, which is what's rumoured, to the Switch via streaming, it's a win-win. Microsoft are getting more exposure, and Nintendo are getting these massive titles. Potentially, imagine playing Halo Infinite or Forza on your Switch.
Yeah.
While sat on the loop.
Let's face it, we've all done it. But it'd be fantastic to see something like Halo on there. But then the other side we've got to look at is, if it is game streaming, you know, look at the limitations that it's got. It is Wi-Fi only, so you have to be connected to a Wi-Fi, so you can't really play it on the go unless you tether it, but then the latency that comes out from it, so
yeah,
you know, there is difficulties to it if it does just go streaming.
Well, potentially, as we were talking about earlier on, if there is a Switch Pro coming, could that possibly have 5G?
It's a good possibility.
Be interesting.
One of the big benefits of 5G isn't just the speed, but the low latency of it.
That could definitely work really well for it. If that, obviously, if that's what happens, if that's what comes out. But it's rumours on rumours, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's rumours, but some quite reliable sources yeah, have been saying that Microsoft and Nintendo do have an announcement for later in the year.
Well, while we're on the subject of Microsoft rumours, there's another one that they're going to be working with, Kojima.
Well, it's not just working with them. There's two parts to this rumour. Apparently went to Sony first, said to Sony, do you want to release our game? We're going to give you first pick. This is apparently back in last June, July, that they went to him. And Sony said, no, you're right, and passed on the chance to release a game on the console.
I like how casual you make Sony sound then. You know, Kojima comes up to them and goes, do you want to work with me with this new game? And they go, nah, you're all right, mate.
That's basically the way when I read it, it's kind of the way it makes it feel. Like, but why would they pass it up?
That's totally how Japanese companies work, right? They're dead casual and yeah, chill.
Yeah. Well,
I'm surprised that Sony have passed up on another Kojima game. I'm guessing that Death Stranding didn't do as well as they projected then.
Possibly. I mean, I've got to admit, it didn't tickle my fancy. I thought it looked a little bit on the not-for-me side.
The not-for-you side.
Yeah.
You mean it's not Dark Souls?
I wasn't going to say that.
We know that's what you were thinking.
Yeah, we both know that. Well, it's odd because as far as I'm aware of, quickly reading up on it, Death Stranding did really well on the PC. It had no issues and apparently it had quite a good base on the PC, yet on the PlayStation, it just didn't take off. Despite, I remember seeing ads everywhere, all over the place. They had it all live action because they had one of the guys from The Walking Dead and that as a main character, and it was passing aside the buses, thinking it's going to be a massive game, and then when it was released, I didn't hear anything. That was it.
The main character on it is, as you say, the guy from The Walking Dead. So Norman Reedus, I think it is. He was actually meant to be the start of another game that Kojima was doing, Silent Hills. But it is surprising that, as you say, Sony have turned it down. But if it sold well on the PC, that doesn't help Sony.
It's true.
It doesn't drive sales of the consoles. Was Sony the publisher for the game, do you know?
I think they were.
I do think they were.
Right, so if they were the publisher, then they will have got something from it, at least.
It's hard to think why they turned them down, because despite him releasing a full-on crazy game like Metal Gear Solid and that franchise, that did so well. And then, yes, even if Death Stranding didn't do so well, you can't guarantee every single game is going to go fantastically, but you would have thought that they would have stuck with someone who has at least a good consistency with his games.
Yeah, which obviously he has. Just very quickly, I did have a quick look. Sony only published the game for the PlayStation, not for the PC. Okay. 505 yeah. Games did. So if it sold really well on the PC, but not so much on the PlayStation, they wouldn't see any kickback from that. But you just mentioned then, so we just mentioned Silent Hill, you just mentioned Metal Gear Solid series, which obviously he's pretty much been the driving force behind for the best part of 20 years. There's also rumours that Microsoft are looking to license the rights to a lot of Konami games, because let's face it, Konami aren't really doing much with them at the moment.
No, and they've got such good property to use.
It looks like they may be looking to bring Silent Hill and Metal Gear Solid to the Xbox.
Castlevania.
Castlevania. I very much doubt it, but a new good Rocket Knight Adventures, I would be ecstatic for that.
Suikoden?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. You know, we're losing the PlayStation store. Microsoft, bring them across. I will give you an undefined amount of money just in case Kerry's listening to this podcast again.
Trying to sell myself.
I have also heard another rumor that Microsoft might be licensing not the range of titles, but specifically Silent Hill and Metal Gear Solid, and getting Kojima back to oversee them.
Could you imagine that slap in the face to both Konami and Sony?
Well, yeah. Well, in all fairness, Silent Hills, that PT demo that they released that never went anywhere, was cancelled. That wasn't Sony who cancelled that. That was Konami. Konami seemed to have basically tried and purge Kojima from the game. They even took his name off the box for Metal Gear Solid 5.
No. It wasn't an award or something.
Yeah, and he was told not to attend, that he couldn't attend.
Flipping out. Let's get shafted.
Bonkers.
It's definitely bad blood between the two. I don't exactly know what it is. But that would be, again, that would be a massive boon for Microsoft if they could get Silent Hills, a cancelled game, or a new Metal Gear Solid game on the Xbox as an Xbox exclusive.
Looking at it this way, people have just kind of stopped, for some reason, work with Konami, with Kojima and that sort of stuff. And Phil Spencer's gone, well, why is he being left in lurch? I'm going to take him then. Fine, whatever. No, I'm not going to let it go to waste.
Going back to what we said before, on that same interview with the Switch in the background, there was a Kojima Productions statuette.
Yeah, there was.
So maybe, again, is they hinting at something?
That's what it goes to show. Look at the background. Like when he did an interview, the flipping S was sat on the shelf in the background the entire time.
I did notice one of his interviews, there was a window in the background. So it's confirmed Microsoft's buying Windows.
may have something to tell you about that.
Again, it's absolute rumours. But it seems to have been picking up steam, I've noticed, over the last few days.
Yes.
And I say, if they brought Konami's back catalogue to the Xbox, chucked a few of them in Game Pass, that is going to be absolutely massive. Do you know what? If that does happen, and the rumours of Uplay coming to Game Pass at the end of year, there should be no way Microsoft will not be on top this generation.
I know.
At the minute, Microsoft is hard to stop. With the amounts of...
The amount of momentum they're getting behind.
Yes, exactly. And it's hard to look over it and not talk about it. Because exactly. Phil's just going, what's the best way I can help gamers and people who are interested in the Xbox? I know. Game Pass. I know. Put more stuff in.
I do feel like Microsoft sacrificed the last couple of years of the Xbox to lay the groundwork for this generation,
and definitely
they are
feels like it.
Getting off to a flying start. The only blemish that I can really see at the moment is the lack of getting the consoles into the hands of people who actually want them.
Yes.
Not scalpers. An issue Sony are having at the same time. But Sony seem to have stalled at the moment.
They seem to be having more issues than Microsoft are having, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, I think Microsoft's lucky. What they've been planning all over the last 2 or 3 years is coming into fruition now. Whereas Sony, obviously, with everything that's been going on in the world, I think has just stalled a little bit.
What doesn't help is there's actually a global shortage of capacitors.
Yes. But that's the same issue Microsoft is suffering from.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, definitely it is. Definitely it is. The difference being, though, is there's rumour that the US are looking to bring manufacturing in-house and actually manufacture them in the US.
Well, yeah, they're looking at making more fabs in other countries as well, so they're not as dependent on these small number of places where they can source these products from.
Yeah.
Getting back on topic before we get too sidetracked, what Konami or Kojima game would you most like to see come to Xbox? You know, if you had a wish list.
Kodelka? Yeah. Brilliant game.
Was that a Konami game?
Oh, yeah, it was a Konami game, Kodelka.
I actually purchased that last year. I haven't played it yet because I've got nowhere to put my PlayStation at the moment. Because it is the one set in Wales, isn't it? If I remember right.
I think it is, yeah.
A survival horror RPG set in Wales. I think that's what sold me on it.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, I don't know whether it was Konami thinking about it.
I have some bad news. I just checked it weren't. It was SNK and Infogrames.
Right. Why did I think that one was Kodelka then? No. Kodelka was Konami.
I'm just trying to think of what games you could be thinking of. As I've mentioned, for me, Rocket Knight Adventure. How about you, Anthony?
If I'm honest, I haven't played that many. I have played a few of the Metal Gear Solids, but outside that, I haven't played that many. But for me, it is actually the Yu-Gi-Oh! Duels. It's something a bit different. It's from Konami, and it is basically just a card dueling game. And I enjoyed them.
It's definitely different.
It is different.
Yes.
But I agree with you, Gert, and I actually loved it, and I played it. I played it on the Game Boy. There's the Game Boy Advance it was on, and I'd happily be able to play on the Xbox.
The Castlevanias would be brilliant as well.
Yes. Just very quickly, when we were talking earlier about the PlayStations, one of the other issues that they're having at the moment is a lot of games aren't getting updated, and the Konami Castlevania games were one of them. Even though the service is still running, the updates for Lord of Shadows, for example, isn't available for players.
Well, right. If Konami does end up coming to Microsoft, they will have a nice home here.
Yes, we will be very appreciative.
Oh, yeah.
As I'm sure PlayStation fans would be if they got the chance.
They can always come across to Xbox and just get the Game Pass and then he's done.
If Sony would be open to it, I'm sure Microsoft would allow game streaming on the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I think Microsoft would happily put it anywhere.
Microsoft might even give more love to the Vita than Sony ever shown it. Well, we're getting towards the end now. So this episode, it's been a roller coaster of good news, bad news, great news.
Hype.
So unfortunately, it is bad news that we're going to end this episode on.
Yeah.
I believe Ubisoft are getting rid of a lot of their online servers for a lot of their legacy titles.
They are, and I'm very sad.
And around June time, they're going to be turning off a bunch of the game servers. For granted, they're old games. I mean, we're talking games that even go back to like the Xbox, the original Xbox generation. It'll be sad to see them go down. I can kind of understand why. They've probably not got the sort of player levels they used to have.
Yeah.
For me, looking at this list, there's two games that particularly sort of stand out for me being sad to lose.
I'm going to have a go guessing them, and I'm going to say Rainbow Six Vegas and Vegas 2.
Yes. Yes, you're correct. I actually remember playing Vegas 2 not long ago, again, online. And again, I enjoyed it as much as I did before. Terrace Hunt was fantastic on those.
Yeah. I loved Vegas 2.
Me and Phil used to spend far too much time on Vegas 2 playing Terrorist Hunt. What was it? Was it Kill House? Was the stage?
I want to say so. It was something like that.
And we'd hide at the end of a tunnel. One of us would run out with machine guns, spray it around to attract the attention. And what you'd be is like, I'd be there hiding at the end of the corridor behind the cover. Phil was going, I ain't coming! As he's running down the corridor, and there's like 15 terrorists chasing him.
Rainbow Six Vegas 2. I have a lot of fun memories of that game. It probably was one of my more played Xbox 360 games.
Yes.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Good story, great multiplayer. For the time, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So we do get similar sort of games now that Ubisoft are releasing. So Ghost Recon, for example. But they're very formulaic now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I felt like a lot of the fun I had from Vegas and Vegas 2 was very free-form. We were making the fun up as we went along.
Yeah. I have vivid memories of us being in like a sewer system at the bottom of a ladder, shooting a bell that caused all the enemies practically in the level to run and climb down this one ladder. And you literally have this pile of bodies at the bottom of this ladder.
You just shoot them as they're coming down this ladder.
Yeah. And with the jokes that we'd be like, Why would you go down that ladder? You know, you look down, pile of bodies.
Yeah, you think, I know, I'm going to climb down this ladder. Yeah,
I ain't going down there, Dave. You can go down.
Well, I remember doing it most on the casino, in Las Vegas casino. That's when I remember doing the Terrace Hunter most.
Because you used to be able to go out side the building and coming through
grapple
the
down the side and just I remember just going upside down, walking down and then shooting upside down into the window. The only game that's got Terrace Hunt now is Siege. Doesn't have the same effect whatsoever.
Feel the same
because there is no grapple mechanics.
Don't get me wrong, I think Siege is a better game, but I think because the stages typically are smaller and it seems to have, from when I was playing it at least, a nasty habit of spawning the terrorists behind you. The amount of times you go in, clear a building room by room, you're like, oh, it's clear. Now we'll go outside and there's a terrorist has appeared in a room that you've previously cleared.
Yeah,
it didn't feel as... Well, polished is probably the wrong word. It was definitely a very polished game. Siege was a good game. It just didn't have the same feel to it as the Vegas games.
Now, don't get me wrong, Vegas did that, but it felt like the distance at which the terrorists spawned was further out, so you very rarely got that sort of issue.
Yeah. Yeah, and you had time to make your way across before you literally just had them on top of you.
Yeah.
But I think, in my opinion, if they'd have done Siege as Siege is, and then also put in the Rainbow Six Vegas 2 terrorist hunt in as a separate thing, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you'd have the Siege gameplay, and obviously the way it is now is like, I think it's 6v6 or something like that, and that fighting, but then had a whole separate terrorist hunt was just Rainbow Six Vegas 2 just redone, put in. I'll be made up. I'll be sorted.
One thing I will miss as well is using the Microsoft webcam to scan my face in. I had a very convincing avatar of myself.
I remember that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the 1st of June that they're going to be going down.
So just very quickly, should we go through some of the titles?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll do consoles first.
So we've got, obviously, the Rainbow Six Vegas games.
Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Rainbow Six Lockdown, which you can't actually play online on the Xbox anyway because the original Xbox Live has gone down. But the PC and the PlayStation 2 servers are going, if they still exist, the PlayStation 2, to be honest.
I imagine it's more PC, that one.
Rainbow Six Vegas and Vegas 2. And then for PC...
So we've got Assassin's Creed 2, Prince of Persia Forgotten Sands, Far Cry 2, I never played myself. Don't mean you guys.
I've got Far Cry 2.
Yeah, I played that. That's the one set in Africa, was it?
I think so. Yeah, you're like on
South
a beach.
South Africa or something. Because don't you have malaria?
I think so. It's been a long time since I've played it.
So then we also got Anno 1404, Might and Magic Clash of Heroes, Splinter Cell Conviction. Now, I loved that game.
Now, I'm surprised Conviction's on the list.
It is an older title. I think that may have been near the beginning of life of the
Xbox. I thought it was the one after Double Agent.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm thinking of Double Agent. Conviction.
Yeah.
Was that the one we played a lot of, or was...
No, the one that we played a lot of was Chaos Theory.
That was on the original Xbox.
Yeah.
There was a relative... What was the last one that came
Blacklist.
Out? Blacklist. Blacklist, that was that came it. I enjoyed Blacklist a lot.
Conviction was the one between Blacklist and Double Agent.
Yeah, I think Blacklist was significantly better, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 100% was. No denying that. We've also got The Settlers 7.
I want a new Splinter Cell.
Yeah, new Splinter Cell would be good. And we've got Might and Magic 10 as well. Now, I didn't think that had online services.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I don't know whether or not it does, but Prince of Persia Forgotten Sands, I don't remember online play for that, so... Perhaps this is just servers for either updates or DRM.
Maybe. Well, yeah, so they're being turned off, which is sad news to end the end tonight's podcast on, but there we are.
Well, let's end it on a bit of a better note. So, obviously, Anthony's going to be a dad again, probably by the time you listen to this podcast, if not very shortly after. So, make sure you get as much sleep as you can now.
Because it ain't happening after.
Yeah, we've done this podcast early to give you plenty of time.
I'm planning to catch up sleep ready.
Congratulations already. If you would like to support the podcast, you can visit us at www.retrogamingdads.co.uk/support, where you can either donate through Patreon, which will get you this podcast 2 days early. So you can be the cool guy that can support the podcast for all your cheap ass friends who will not subscribe.
Don't be that guy.
Or you can send donations directly through PayPal. All money will be going back into the running of the podcast. At the moment, we're looking at improving our microphones so you can actually hear us waffle on in crystal clear clarity.
And on that note, this is the Retro Gaming Dads podcast. I hope you enjoyed what you listened to, and we'll see you next time.